Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 70 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Ellen Barnett.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
If this tax increase passed, we'd have to shut the doors. We employ 21 employees, and we'd have to put them all out on the road.
Tobacco farmers gathered in Frankfort today to voice their opposition to a proposed cigarette tax increase.
Kentucky State Police say with their current resources, they aren't able to protect the state adequately.
Moorhead State University has been named in the top 20 safest college campuses in the country.
In sports, Rowan County hosts a doubleheader tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
We'll see scattered showers tonight, lows around 54, an extended weather forecast after this news.
People are facing charges in Powell County after police say they stole items from a recently deceased man. According to WKYT, Powell County Sheriff Danny Rogers says he noticed 43-year-old Jimmy Sparks and 41-year-old Tamara Buckler of Clay City sitting in their car in front of Daryl Rose's house on Hatton Creek Road. Authorities say family members identified some of Rose's items in the car, such as mirrors, clocks, clothing, and shoes. However, Sparks and Buckler say they are innocent.
No.
Didn't have any knowledge the gentleman was passed away or nothing like that. The car's messing up, the wheel bearings messing up on the car, and we pulled off, and the cop pulled up and accused us of doing what we've done.
According to the sheriff, Sparks did finally admit to entering the home and taking items. Sparks and Buckler are charged with second-degree burglary.
On the heels of a school shooting in Florida, the suspected gunman of the Marshall County High School shooting is scheduled to be arraigned. KNN's Haley Hansen reports.
The assistant county attorney says a, quote, tentative arraignment will take place at 1 o'clock on Friday in Benton. A grand jury met earlier this week to consider murder and assault charges against the 15-year-old suspected shooter. They're deciding whether the teen will face charges as an adult. If they return an indictment, the teenager's name will be released to the public. He's accused of opening fire at Marshall County High, killing two 15-year-olds, Bailey Holt and Preston Cope, and injuring more than a dozen others last month. I'm Haley Hansen.
The former owner of a Louisville specialty food store has been sentenced to 33 months in federal prison for food stamp fraud. Elias Estefany was also ordered to pay $545,000 in restitution during sentencing on Tuesday. Prosecutors said during a November trial that Estefany traded cash for food and stamp benefits, generally paying customers 50 cents on the dollar. He was convicted of defrauding a U.S. Department of Agriculture program on November 9th following a four-day jury trial. Estefany owned two food stores called the Meat Store and the Meat Store 2 in Louisville. The U.S. attorney in Louisville says in a release, the USDA and FBI began investigating the Meat Store's redemption of food stamp benefits because it had a significantly higher level of benefits redemption than similar area stores.
The Kentucky Senate's top Republican leader says a forthcoming bill to overhaul one of the country's worst-funded public pension systems will not include a mandatory move to a 401k-style plan. Senate President Robert Stivers said the bill, which has yet to be filed, will not require all new hires and employees who reach 27 years of service to move to a 401k-style plan. That was the cornerstone of an earlier proposal last year that was endorsed by Republican Governor Matt Bevin and the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce. But that proposal prompted fierce opposition from hundreds of thousands of state workers and public school teachers in the first election year after voters gave Republicans full control of the state legislature.
Tobacco farmers from throughout Kentucky were in Frankfort this week to meet lawmakers. The farmers voiced their opposition to a $1 per pack increase in Kentucky's cigarette tax. The opposition says this tax could be counterproductive, as more than 60% of states that raise cigarette taxes failed to meet revenue projections. Opponents also cite that the tax further burdens the 48% of lowest-income Kentuckians who smoke. According to Christian County farmer Robert Gray, it would hurt the family farm, too.
Tobacco's always been a staple crop. Corn, wheat sometimes are profitable, sometimes are not, and that's helped numerous farm families there in the state of Kentucky.
Growers suggest that the increased tax would cause people to go outside of Kentucky to buy cigarettes, driving businesses away from the Commonwealth.
Gun control advocates rallied in Frankfort yesterday to oppose several bills being considered by Kentucky lawmakers. The rally was organized by the Kentucky chapter of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. The group is opposed to legislation that would allow concealed deadly weapons on college campuses and allow armed marshals in public schools. Holland Holm, who survived the 1997 shooting at Heath High School in Paducah, says the legislation would not have saved lives in the Heath and Marshall County high school shootings.
In the wake of Marshall County, members of the General Assembly seek to put more guns in more hands of people with less oversight.
The group is working to fight three bills currently up for consideration, including a permitless carry bill, which would allow people to carry a firearm in public without a permit.
We'll be right back with Mountain Edition after this short break.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting the 13th Annual Moorhead Antique Market, March 4th and 5th at the Moorhead Conference Center. On-site appraisals by Tom Clark and Richard Mook from KET's Antiques Collectibles TV show. The Moorhead Antique Market at the Moorhead Conference Center, Saturday, March 4th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, March 5th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. More information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
A bill aimed at cracking down on caregivers who steal painkillers from the homes where they're working has been advanced by a Kentucky House committee. The bill, approved by the House Judiciary Committee on Wednesday, would expand the ability of prosecutors to apply the state's exploitation law. The measure stems from a Hardin County case in which a caregiver was caught stealing painkillers prescribed to a man fighting cancer. Representative Jim Duplessis says because the suspect was hired to care for the man's wife, the exploitation law didn't apply. As a result, he says the caregiver received a less severe punishment. The bill seeks to remedy such situations by allowing the exploitation law to apply to other vulnerable people in the home.
Kentucky State Police need 262 additional troopers to effectively protect the state. That's according to Commissioner Rick Sanders. According to Spectrum News, Sanders told members of the House Budget Review Subcommittee on Justice, Public Safety, and Judiciary that in addition to adding troopers to the payroll, he also needs to increase compensation for support personnel.
We're looking for stipends for our dispatchers and for our chemists that work at our lab. We have six labs. We process every piece of evidence that's actually collected throughout the Commonwealth. They do a tremendous job, but we're losing them daily to other agencies that pay higher.
KSP is in line to get a new radio dispatch system to replace the current antiquated one, but law enforcement leaders say the agency has many more needs which must be addressed.
Moorhead State University has secured the 18th position on a list of the safest college campuses in the nation. The list is compiled by the National Council for Home Safety and Security. It compares the most recent data from the FBI and the U.S. Department of Education for all accredited institutions with enrollment above 10,000. Northern Kentucky University ranks third on the list. MSU Chief of Police Merrill Harrison says his department has been implementing the new Unified Security Project over the past year or so.
We have video cameras, hundreds of video cameras throughout campus now that help keep more eyes on the campus community and keep everybody safe. And, so everybody working together, the Live Safe app has been a good thing for the police department to get tips in. And, so we have a lot more eyes and ears out there to kind of help us, continue to be safe.
Harrison says recent crimes on campus have included burglary, sexual assault, and vandalism. He notes that several of those investigations have been successful, thanks in large part to the new security cameras.
Moorhead State University is preparing for decreased funding and an increase in pension costs for the 2017-18 year. In spite of a grim financial outlook, the university is protecting jobs for its student workers through the Earn to Learn program. MSU President Jay Morgan says it's important for MSU to remain student-centered.
It is a proven fact that when you employ students on campus, when students are housed on campus in your residential halls, your retention and graduation rates go up. So we're really taking the money that all of you had in your units that were tagged for student dollars, and in some cases adding money to that in order to hire more students.
Morgan says Morehead will not be able to rely on student employment as much as institutions like Berea College, but he knows they are an important part of Morehead State's workforce.
Morehead residents will soon see how the so-called Perkins property will be used for local recreation. The city purchased the five-acre plot next to the Green Hill City Park from the Perkins family for $1 million last year. The initial plan calls for Morehead and Rowan County to build a splash pad there, but Mayor Jim Tom Trent says an architect will put together a design that displays further uses of the site.
We want to go ahead and show the community what our goal is long-term, with the splash pad probably being the anchor right now, but we want to go ahead and have that out there to be able to present that to the community, and that's what I'm working on right now. That's what we're going to start today to get that done. So, you know, it'd be great to have something to show people in a month or two.
Trent envisions a senior center, a parking lot, and a boat and kayak launch area along Triplett Creek as part of the project to utilize the Perkins property.
Flemingsburg City Council is making an adjustment to the way the town pays its employees. Mayor Marty Voyers says the council recently passed the first reading of an ordinance that would not only look at how much those workers receive per hour, but also reward them for how long they've served the city.
We wanted to add in another part of that to provide years of service compensation on an annual basis to employees. And part of the reason for that is to try to give them some incentive for longevity with the city. So we introduced a measure to do that.
The new pay scale will take into account if a worker has 0 to 5, 6 to 11, or 12 plus years of service time with the city of Flemingsburg. The measure is expected to be passed on its second and final reading next month.
The flu season is taking a toll on businesses across the country, including in Kentucky, where over 5,000 flu cases have been reported. According to WKYT, 111 million work days are expected to be missed across the country by over 25 million people this season. Brian Simmons, Senior Human Resources Director with CMI Consulting, says CMI is working on a training program to help businesses better prepare for illness in the workplace.
That incorporates things like looking at your time and attendance policies, looking at your Family Medical Leave Act compliance.
Simmons says that for now, companies should focus on maintaining a sanitary work environment.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast, tonight we'll see scattered showers this evening, a 100% chance of precipitation, lows around 54 degrees. Tomorrow we'll see showers with warmer temperatures, mainly in the morning, falling to around 41 degrees later on. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, lows around 29, and on Saturday we'll see a slight chance of rain and snow showers before 11 a.m., highs near 44. It's currently 68 degrees in Flemingsburg. It's 71 right now in Ashland as well as in Winchester, 72 in Inez, and 70 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
The time is 4:44. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on WMKY. I'm Ellen Barnett here with my big brother, Arlo Barnett. In our feature segment yesterday, we spoke with some Martin County residents who have been affected by the water crisis. Today, WMKY's Logan Pemberton has more from the troubled area.
We all want the exact same thing, which is clean, safe drinking water. And we want reliable, clean, safe drinking water.
Many citizens of Martin County lost access to their water on the 16th of January. Neighboring water districts in Pike County and Kermit, West Virginia, stepped in to help. Although the county is no longer relying on these systems, some citizens are still having problems. Jimmy Kerr is on the board of the Martin County Water District.
Basically what happened, the raw water intake that comes from the Tug River, we have a big pump there that takes the raw water out of Tug, pumps it over to the reservoir. From there, it goes to our plant where it's cleaned and then distributed out into the water system. When we had the freeze, basically the raw water intake pump froze over.
Kerr says residents running water to prevent their pipes from freezing only added to the problem.
With freeze, people were running running their water all night, of course, trying to keep their pipes from freezing. So the water usage went way up, and it essentially drained the reservoir. Well, then it warmed back up because frozen water doesn't leak. But when it warmed back up and things started to thaw back out, we started having pipe breaks all over the county. So it basically was a perfect storm.
The county should have access to their water now. However, Kerr explains that a few residents living in higher elevations may still face issues.
We're trying to figure out exactly why that is. And it's our understanding that we have water and have the appropriate amount of pressure to their meters. It's just they live way up on the mountain and they actually need a pump on their side of the meter to ensure that water gets on up the hill to them. And so that is something we're going to try to look into, see what needs to be addressed.
As a reaction to some of the financial issues that led to the inability to repair many of the utilities, the Water District applied for a 50% expedited increase in their rates, which angered many residents. The district has since experienced a lot of backlash, but Kerr says the idea had been considered before the outages occurred.
The previous board hired a consultant to, do a review of the district and said that we would need approximately a 49% rate increase in order to get the district solvent. So it was something that had to be decided fairly quickly. Based upon the review of the consultant's findings, we voted to do a request through the PSC, the Public Service Commission, to do that rate increase.
He says the decision wasn't an easy one to make.
That's probably the hardest decision that we're going to have to make personally, because it affects everybody financially. I mean, it affects my grandmother. She's on a fixed income. She's 90 years old. It affects my mom, who's on a fixed income. I mean, they can't afford a higher water bill. But that is what was necessary at the time in order to try to start moving ourselves to becoming solvent again.
As for the future, Kerr says the board plans on tackling the financial issues that have been troubling the Water District for years.
We're trying to get to where we have enough money to actually buy parts to fix water lines, not have to use old equipment to fix it. So that's step one.
He hopes to receive additional funding via grants.
We're chasing down grant money to try to get in to work on our failing infrastructure. Our infrastructure is very old. We've already got one grant that's been approved for $1.25 million. We're hoping to hear something very soon on abandoned landmine. And then we can start working on our water intake and start doing the overall system itself.
Kerr hopes the residents of Martin County know the water outages have been taken seriously and reassures that the board thinks it will solve many of the problems that have been plaguing the county for years.
We do not take these decisions lightly, and the rate increase was very difficult from a personal standpoint. From a business standpoint, it's probably the easiest decision that we'll make. But I think the hard decisions for the business and the things that we're going to have to do, I think the hard things are just now coming. But we do want the people of Martin County to know we are sympathetic to the plight. We're all losing sleep over it, trying to figure out exactly how to fix it, and we believe that we can fix it.
For WMKY, I'm Logan Pemberton.
The time is 4:48, and it's 70 degrees in Moorhead. Sports are up next with Braxton Howard right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moorheadstate.edu/innovation.
Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Losers of six straight, the Moorhead State Basketball Eagles are in Nashville tonight for an 8:30 game against Tennessee State. Just 2-12 in conference, Coach Preston Spradlin's Eagles are long shots to make the OVC's postseason tournament. Even so, he says they still have some important things to play for.
We have the opportunity to play Division I college basketball and represent a tremendous university, and you got to have a lot of pride. You really do. No matter if the conference tournament's in or out of the question, you got to finish the season strong. You got to have pride in yourself. You got to care for your teammates, and that's what our focus is going to be.
MSU is two games out of the eighth and final spot for the OVC playoffs, with just four games to go. The Eagles will face a red-hot Tennessee State squad that's won six in a row. Losers of two of their last three, the MSU women also play Tennessee State this evening. That game tips off at 6:30 at the Gentry Center. Even though his rotation on the floor is down to just seven players, Coach Greg Todd insists that his 18-9 Eagles are not getting tired late in the year.
I don't think we're wearing down as far as for the season. I think we're good, but in the individual game, it is a tougher road when you don't have as much depth. So that is there's no question that's a factor. And losing two posts like we did just makes us a lot thinner in the post.
The MSU women beat Tennessee State 97-81 earlier this month at Johnson Arena. Last night's 76-66 loss at number 10 Auburn was the fourth straight for the Reeling Kentucky basketball team, and Coach John Calipari says all the Wildcats can do is continue to work to improve. According to Calipari, with another key SEC game Saturday afternoon at Rupp Arena, there's no time for the young cats to sit around and feel sorry for themselves.
We got another tough game. We got Alabama, who's like on a win streak and beating everybody's brains in, and now you got them. The league is not what it's been, and now you have no room. We don't have any room for error. And as a coach, I got to keep them going and just get to work and say, how do we get better and what do we do to try to turn this around?
Last night's loss at Auburn dropped UK to 6-7 in conference and to 17-9 overall. Three of the 10 people indicted in the FBI's probe into college basketball had their arguments heard today in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York, but the backlash from the investigation could be far from over. ESPN is citing sources who tell them that as many as 36 Division I programs could face NCAA violations for what has come to light in the investigation, specifically information seized from NBA agent Andy Miller. One source told the outlet, quote, "It's not the mid-major programs who were trying to buy players to get to the top. It was the teams that are already at the top." A former University of Kentucky All-American is leading the charge to bring an NBA team to the state of Kentucky. KNN's Will Clark has more on that.
The Louisville Basketball Investment and Support Group, LLC, has named former NBA player and UK All-American Dan Issel to be the president of their NBA to Louisville initiative. Issel says they've already got investors with money in the pot.
We were able to raise $750,000 with commitments up to $3 million if we need to do it. And we had to cut it off. If you can believe this, we had other people that wanted to be involved, but we cut it off at the 10-unit number.
He says he's spoken with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and says the league is flattered that Louisville wants a team, but says there's currently no timetable for the league to expand. I'm Will Clark.
The Round County boys basketball team tonight plays its final game before 61st District Tournament action starts next week. The Vikings host 8-18 Fairview at 7:30. Round coach Sean Thacker says even though it's been a bumpy ride in the last few weeks for his 14-14 ball club, the Vikings are doing a lot of good things.
We continue to shoot the ball well when we take good shots, and we've been doing that for the past month. Our shot selection and our shooting percentage, continues to stay solid. So, I think we're putting ourselves in a position to be able to possibly make a run in the postseason.
The 18-8 Lady Vikings close out the regular season tomorrow night at 7:30 at Cooper Gym against 22-4 Boyd County. The 2018 season for the Morehead State Baseball Eagles starts tomorrow. Coach Mike McGuire's Eagles will face UMass Lowell at 4 p.m. in a classic in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
Obviously excited to look forward to playing somebody else. Like our club, I think it's a club that's a talented club and a club that has a high ceiling, and we're looking forward to see if we can reach that ceiling. I think for our club is we got to get better each month. If we do that, I think we can be a very good club that can do some things late in the year.
The Eagles will play two games apiece this weekend against Lowell and Ball State before visiting Western Carolina next Tuesday. MSU posted a 36-23 record last spring. Finally, in sports, the Morehead State softball team is also in action tomorrow. Coach David Williams' 3-1 Eagles will participate in the Fairfield Inn & Suites Invitational in North Carolina that runs tomorrow through Sunday.
Well, we open up with Bucknell and Northern Kentucky on the first day, neither of which played this past weekend. So we're going to be both teams' first game of the season. We don't really know what to expect from them in that aspect because, whatever new players they have, we don't know anything about.
The Eagles will also battle James Madison and Campbell in the event. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will close out their regular season home schedule, hosting UT Martin on February 22nd and Eastern Kentucky on February 24th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Fiscal Court,
offering a payroll and occupational tax amnesty program through March 31st. A 5% penalty and interest will be waived if delinquent taxes are paid before March 31st. Taxes not paid by the deadline may result in further penalties or legal action. More information on the Rowan County Tax Amnesty Program is available by calling the Rowan County Finance Director at 784-8505.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rose sharply in choppy trading as the major indices extended their current winning streak to 5 days. The move higher took place despite interest rates reaching multi-year highs. And at the close, the Dow Industrials showed a gain of 306.88 at 25,200.37. The S&P 500 was up 32.57 at 2731.20, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 112.81 at 7256.43. The tech sector today was strong, as you had Amazon, Netflix, and Alphabet all helping to lift the NASDAQ to a higher level. And also, very importantly, both the Dow and S&P 500 got back up above their 50-day moving averages, which are key technical levels for a lot of market watchers. Your best Dow performers were Boeing and Cisco, and of course Cisco was spotlighted today as they had better-than-expected earnings after the bell yesterday, and Cisco's stock jumped 4.7%, and as mentioned, one of the very best performers and the best performer actually among the Dow industrial stocks today. Last Thursday, the indices all closed 10% below their record highs that were set back in January. And, of course, one of the factors cited by investors and traders was a surge in interest rates to levels not seen in years. But Wall Street seems to be learning to live with higher rates. This morning, stock futures traded higher despite the 10-year Treasury note hitting a new 4-year high before the bell. And in trading today, the 10-year Treasury finished with a yield of just over 2.9%. On the data front, jobless claims increased by 7,000 to a seasonally adjusted 230,000, and this figure rebounded from a near 45-year low last week. And also today, it was reported that Amazon is teaming up with Bank of America to provide loans to merchants, and Amazon finished today up 0.7%, while Bank of America shares traded 0.3% higher. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.5%, finishing at $61.50 a barrel, while gold was down 0.2% at $1,355.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were up as the Stock 600 index finished with a gain of 0.5%. In Asia, stocks were strong, with the Nikkei up 1.5% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong finishing with a gain of 2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, as mentioned, the top performers were Cisco and Boeing, while the worst performers were United Health Group and GE. In the S&P 500, the best performers were EQT and CenturyLink, while the worst performers were Omnicom Group and Equinix. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.36 at $73.14, CSX up 41 cents at $55.56, AEP up $1.38 at $66.68, AK Steel up 6 cents at $5.24, Marathon Petroleum down 34 cents at $67.82, and U.S. Bancorp was down 20 cents to finish at $55.11. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region, tonight we'll see a 100% chance of scattered showers, lows around 54 degrees. Tomorrow, another 100% chance of showers, tapering off later in the day, we'll see temperatures around 41 degrees, getting down to around 29 at night. And on Saturday, at the start of our weekend, a slight chance of rain and snow showers before 11 a.m., then turning to rain showers, highs near 44 degrees. And it's currently 70 degrees here in Moorhead.
And that is it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Chuck Moraz, Leanne Akers, Sean Delaney, Brian Courtney, Kenzie Thompson, Tilden Johnson, and Braxton Howard. Haley Hansen helped out with the Kentucky News Network. We heard from Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Logan Pemberton. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Ellen Barnett for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.